Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
We're so glad you're all here today for our fourth Sunday after Pentecost.
So awesome. Yeah. It's a very special Sunday. We have our theologian in residence, Colleen Wessel McCoy, preaching today. We're really excited. I'm going to give her a little clap. And this is also our send-off for her. Colleen has accepted a one-year position out in Arizona where she and her family will be wearing masks to keep everyone safe and themselves safe too. But we are so excited for her that she's getting to continue her amazing work doing what she's doing. And we're so grateful to her that she's been with us this year. I think that it's really been amazing, especially in these last couple of months. We've engaged more and gotten to know her more, and we are looking forward to next year, her dropping in just as a parishioner as she can, you know.
Yeah. So we're really grateful for her work with us and her work in the world, and really glad to be hearing her share some thoughts today during the sermon.
Yeah. Our program year has kind of ended, but nothing is really changing because this is where we are and we're continuing at 10 a.m. Couple things that will change is that Compline and Contemplative Prayer are going on hiatus for the summer, mm-hmm. In part because we have so many Sacred Ground groups running and we're focusing on that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Go ahead.
And if you haven't received an email from Sacred Ground or you haven't read the emails, please read the emails because there's lots to do. It's so exciting.
One of the great things we do during the summer is this whole summer, July and August, we are doing all request hymns.
Whoa.
So as long as you are not choosing a dirge, we will try to fit your hymn in, you know, and it's something that people know. Saya, you want to put your email in the chat right now? Email your hymn request to Saya, and we will fit that in. I am going to right now put in the chat the link that is now finally working to be a reader. This summer. If you have never read before, it does not matter. Everyone is welcome to read. We ask that you do not sign up for more than two, right?
Sarah? That's right, yeah. Please only two, but do sign up, even if you've never read before. If you can read out loud in English, we would like you to read. The more voices, the more interesting our summer worship is. So please do sign up for that and send in your hymns.
It's really great. A couple of other things is we got to deliver our second round of checks to help pay rent for the undocumented families in Red Hook. Because of some additional donations, we were able to include two more families this month to that. So we paid the rent for five families this month. And it's true that this is not the long-term solution, but what it does do is it alleviates the anxiety and stress for these families who, in talking to the assistant principal, these are families who have worked very hard and diligently piecing a living together. Most of them work in the service industry and those jobs are not there right now. So this prevents their families, because all of them have children at PS15, it prevents their families from becoming homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very, very good thing. So we hope that we can continue to support these families. If you are able to contribute to our discretionary fund, the link is on our website. If we get it together, I think the link is also in our bulletin today. You can donate to that, and it's a great way that our abundance is helping other people during this very, very difficult time.
I think it for now. Is
well,
that it for
one last thing is you will be getting a communication from us this in the next probably 10 days about where we are in terms of our thinking on the building, what we're going to be doing. We can say to let you know that it will be a few months before we worship on Sundays in the sanctuary, but that we will be planning some other things. There's a committee of 9 people who have been helping us with this process, and you'll be hearing from all of us during the next 10 days to let you know where we are with that. If you have any questions, ask us.
Please email us. We're around. This is what we are here to help you understand and help us all be together during this time.
One of the things that's really clear that we've been seeing in some of the places that have reopened is that churches are hotspots. They're super mm-hmm. spreader places, and mm-hmm. we just don't want to be that place. So we can do this, and we can see each other, and we can have people from Kansas and Maine and Connecticut and New Jersey, and I think Tom and Bora are elsewhere this week. you know, it's amazing. So we're gonna choose to keep people safe.
Yeah, that's our priority. Okay. With that, then I think we're gonna begin with some music, friends.
Give me Jesus.
send out your light and your truth, that they may lead us, and bring us to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, to set forth his praise, to hear his holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and our salvation, and so that we may prepare ourselves in heart and mind to worship him, let us sit in silence and with penitent and obedient hearts confess our sins, that we may obtain forgiveness by his infinite goodness and mercy.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Lord, open our lips,
and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia.
The mercy of the Lord is everlasting. Come, let us adore him.
Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us heartily rejoice in the strength of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and show ourselves glad in him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are all the corners of the earth, and the strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands prepared the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and fall down, and kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is the Lord our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let the whole earth stand in awe of him. For he cometh to judge the earth, and with righteousness to judge the world and the peoples with his truth. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Your love, O Lord, forever will I sing. From age to age, my mouth will proclaim your faithfulness, for I am persuaded that your love is established forever. You have set your faithfulness firmly in the heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn an oath to David, my servant. I will establish your line forever and preserve your throne for all generations. Happy are the people who know the festal shout. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your presence. They rejoice daily in your name. They are jubilant in your righteousness, for you are the glory of their strength, and by your favor our might is exalted. Truly, the Lord is our ruler. The Holy One of Israel is our King.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. Do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought forth from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, and since you are not under God, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity, and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness and for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Word of God.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly, I tell you, none of these will love the reward." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It's so good to be with you this morning, and it's hard to think about it being the end of this time of being the theologian in residence, but it's certainly not the end of getting to have a relationship with all of you and with the congregation, and made more possible now that I can join you even from Arizona for services and continue to be with you. So I'm grateful for that, and grateful for the technology that makes that possible. So I'm excited for the reflect on this text with you today and spend some time with Matthew. But first a short prayer. The Lord be with you. Lord, you are our light and our salvation. Whom then shall we fear? We seek to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our life. Be with us as we meditate on your word and commit to welcome you, to welcome your prophets, to welcome your little ones, and to follow you. Amen. So this pretty short section from Matthew 10 here is kind of odd. It's one of those ones where it's like, seems like you could have said this more simply, or if this is the whole point, you could have just said it directly and continued on. But the scriptures are never extra just for the sake of being extra. There's always some point that they're trying to make or some reason why they spend a lot of time thinking about something in a way that seems like it could be said more simply. And so I'm glad that this text sort of gets lifted up by itself in the lectionary and not just patched in with what's around it. But it's also helpful to look around the text and see where this falls in and what it's trying to say. So this section is the conclusion of Jesus empowering the disciples to go out into the world and continue their mission. It's part of the instructions to heal people without getting paid for it, and to spread the message of the kingdom of God. And Jesus spends a lot of time actually talking about how dangerous this mission is, that they will be arrested and persecuted, but they will also find those who will welcome them. And here's where the text picks up. The good news will grow and build. And Jesus says right after this that the good news is that the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are clean, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. And so the disciples are sent out to find both hardship and those who are going to welcome them. I think it's also worth remembering who the prophets that followed Jesus were. And Matthew, again, takes time to tell these origin stories. That's because where they came from matter. Where the disciples, the context that they came out of, the conditions they came out of, is actually related to their decision to take up and follow Jesus. So prophets, so often, the disciples here, come from where we don't expect. So Matthew 4, a little bit earlier, spends some time talking about some of the disciples. He says, here's Matthew 4. As Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately, they left their boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news in the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So here's the origin story for some of the disciples, and we could look at others, but just take a moment here and think about these are who are being commissioned that Jesus is sending out in Matthew 10. And it's, you know, to take this call that Jesus is this commissioning is not passive. It's to take up and follow him. And to welcome a prophet in the name of a prophet is to welcome disciples who come from unexpected places. And so it's really important for understanding Jesus's ministry that the disciples came from ordinary, impoverished circumstances. And so many stories of the gospel talk about the types of labor that people do. There's so many parables about agricultural work and farming, and that's not anecdotal or coincidental. Again, that matters, and it's worth looking at more closely. So here, the disciples, in our example, they made their living by fishing. Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they were fishermen. And fishing in the ancient Mediterranean was not a safe or comfortable job. Fish was a staple food across the ancient Roman Empire, and it was consumed by all classes of people. So this whole fishing business in the Roman Empire was very much an industry. There were the people who caught it, the people who built the boats, people who sold licenses and collected taxes on it. There were police who cracked down on illegal fishing, And then there were people who processed the fish and merchants who shipped it. So there was a whole industry around this. It's not this sort of bucolic sort of fisherman who catches fish and then sells them at a small market to people who grow chickens and trade them chickens for fish. No, this was like a, this was an industry, and there were taxes on it. And the peasant fishers and processors had little control over the fees for those fishing licenses and taxes and tolls. And it was largely a situation of exploitation. In general, the economy of the Roman Empire was extractive in all areas of production. And so their labor, all the taxes that came out of it, filtered up towards the emperor and towards the Roman Empire. And I think that it, you know, scholars say that particularly in the time, in this period, that there was an intensification of that exploitation in Galilee under Herod Antipas, that his extraction of wealth and his luxurious lifestyle made things like fishing increasingly commercialized and extractive. So all of this is taking place in a society where the vast majority of people are living in poverty, barely surviving from day to day. There's not really this like middle class or farmer that's separate from this process of money trickling up, money sort of being siphoned up. And so there were elites, and then there were everyone else. And the people who fished for a living were definitely in that everyone else group. So then it's not really surprising when the story says, immediately they left their nets and followed him. And immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. So how bad of a job must this have been that at a moment's notice, they're ready to walk off? And then what was this good news that they were joining? So Jesus, it says, went through Galilee, teaching in synagogues, proclaiming the good news, curing every disease and every sickness among the people. And then Jesus passes this mission on to the disciples and says that they are called to go and do likewise. And this is a ministry and mission of healing and obedience to the kingdom of God, as opposed to the kingdom of the Roman Empire. And that's what made it so dangerous. And that's what led to the persecution and the imprisonment. And that's what made it so essential that people would welcome the disciples, that they would offer them water, that they would make space for them and keep them safe. And that's how this ministry grew, is by people welcoming the ministers who came around, who were organizing to build this mission. So I was on a poverty reality tour in Appalachia several years ago with a group of seminarians. And there was a pastor there who quoted the well-known Bible proverb, give a man to fish and he'll eat for a day, teach a man to fish and he'll eat for a lifetime. So my friend Jess leaned over and pointed out, that's not in the Bible. So that was not the last time I've heard that quoted as a Bible verse. And actually, it probably wasn't the first time that someone cited it as scripture, but I didn't have Jess there, who's Baptist and knows the whole Bible, to remind me that it is not in the Bible. That is not in the Bible. But I sometimes wonder if this story of Jesus calling the fishermen disciples is part of the confusion. Jesus says, I will make you fishers of people. And somehow that gets conflated with give a man to fish, teach a man to fish. But it's a very different gospel than teach a man to fish. When people cite this teach a man to fish and he'll eat for a lifetime, they almost always mean cutting welfare and getting people jobs. They don't say, join a movement for a living wage so that workers, you know, have enough to eat. Even though many poor and homeless people do work, many poor and homeless people have lots of skills. And the disciples here had lots of fishing skills. They knew how to fish, and yet they still, the conditions were not ones that they were willing, that, you know, that they saw this call for something different and immediately set down their nets. Today, you know, many poor and homeless people have learned lots of skills. Many work or multiple jobs, and yet they don't pay enough. And we say generally, and as a society, we say, that's your problem. We live in a society where you can work full time and not be able to afford housing or healthcare. We live in one where you can work three jobs and not afford those things. And that's before the economic crisis that has accompanied COVID. Even before this most recent economic fall, there were 140 million poor and low-income people in the United States. And that's 4 out of 10 of us. And so the idea that we're just going to, instead of providing fish, we're going to teach people to fish isn't really the whole story. So Aaron Scott, who's of an Episcopal church plant in rural Washington called Chaplains on the Harbor, says, one of the Bible's great gifts to us is that it's the most positive media we have about poor people. Where else do we hear the message that poor people, like these fishermen, doing the dirtiest, most dangerous, most undervalued work, are chosen by God as leaders of this world? Where else do we hear the message that poor people are allowed, or even called by God, to walk off their dirty, dangerous, undervalued jobs in order to help God change the world? We don't hear that on the news. We don't read it in the newspapers. Across party lines, those who are held up as authorities fail to see poor people as moral leaders and the true authorities on how to best fix this unjust society. Yet just about every time we open the Bible, we are confronted with story after story of regular poor people stepping up to transform the world. Because the people on the bottom are the ones who know up close and personal how profoundly things need to change. That's why Jesus called these four fishermen. That's who Jesus is inviting for us to hear today too. Leaders from the bottom, fast food workers, Black Lives Matter protesters, farm workers, school cafeteria workers. The gospel is for all of us. God's dream is for all of us. But to bridge the gap between this burning world and the earth as it is in heaven is going to require for us to search out a very particular kind of leadership. And that's the kind of leadership who knows how to make a way out of no way, that responds to the call of God in real time, dropping nets to the floor and walking away from exploitation and towards redemption of the whole, no matter the risk. This year, in the chaos of the public health crisis, economic crisis, and social crisis, we are seeing people drop their nets and take up the work of prophets and righteous persons. In the wake of the murders of George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, and Breonna Taylor, people have gone out to refuse a culture of death and impunity. We are being healed by new laws that limit lethal force and shift funding to meet human needs. We are called to welcome these prophets and their vision for a world transformed. And last Saturday, people came together for the Poor People's Campaign Mass Digital March on Washington, including folks from our congregation, along with 2.6 million people who took part on Facebook alone, and countless more who joined by radio and TV broadcasts. And it's not too late to listen in. The recording of that is at june2020.org. But following the success of that time when poor folks from across the country testified about the conditions and the work that's being done to solve those conditions and about a legislative agenda for the kinds of policies that will really make a difference in our lives, we're following that with open houses. And there's one for New York State's campaign on July 1st. So that's coming up. And so this call is out to join the Poor People's Campaign and be part of this movement that's growing. So where are we in this story of Jesus calling Peter, Andrew, James, and John? Can we drop our nets? In a world that is so abundant with food, but full of so many hungry people, how is God calling me to act so that all can be fed? How is God calling me to welcome the disciples and the righteous ones and to offer water to the little ones? How is Jesus isn't asking us to teach people to fish, but to proclaim the good news that the kingdom of God is near. And it is a kingdom worlds apart from the Roman Empire. It's a world where people are healed. We don't work without getting what we need. We We are not threatened with homelessness to keep us working, and police violence doesn't plague people of color and poor communities. This indeed is good news.
Amen. With that then, friends, we'll say together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We offer our prayers to you, O God of life. You created all people as one family and call us to live together in harmony and peace. Surround us with your love as we face the challenges and tragedies of this present time. In the midst of our sadness and grief, we ask you to give us words to comfort one another and for the grace to allow room for grieving and sadness. For those who are dying and for those who have already died from this virus, for those who care for them and for those who with no one to care for them, for those who have died as a result of racial violence, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In the midst of our own anxiety, we ask for the courage to support one another as you would. For those who are poor, hungry, and homeless, for those who have lost their employment, those who fear the present and the future, for our government and financial institutions, and those who lead them, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In the midst of our brokenness, we pray that the peace of the risen Christ may heal the wounds of all victims of injustice, exploitation, prejudice, hatred, and racism. We pray for our nation to stand up and do the work of uniting us, not dividing us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In the midst of our struggle to ensure a healthy future for all people, we ask you to give us the hope that surpasses our current understanding. For healthcare workers, spiritual leaders in our faith communities, for protesters, for artists and poets, for prophets and teachers, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remembering that you have promised to hear our prayers, we offer our intercessions and thanksgivings.
So friends, if you'd like to unmute yourself to offer a prayer or a thanksgiving, you can, or you can also type it into the chat if you'd like to do so that way.
Prayers to Ron and Jill. Mm-hmm. Always.
Mm-hmm. We have, we want to offer Thanksgiving for our mothers who are both healthy and they both have birthdays coming up in the next week and a half. So Thanksgiving, thank you, and happy birthday to Grandma Laura and Grandma Helen, and to our good friends Laura and Janice, who also have birthdays in this week.
Awesome. I think from everyone, Anne wrote it, but we'll say from everyone to Colleen and her family as they move to Arizona, traveling mercies, but also just deep, deep gratitude for Colleen and John's witness and their hard work and their example of dedication to this movement, not only this year, but for these over two decades now, that they can show us a way of living and being. Great gratitude for that.
Belinda offers prayers for John's dad and his health as he ages.
Pray for people in the South as they struggle with the coronavirus resurgence, and pray for wisdom for people around the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From Asa, for prayers for all the protesters who are occupying City Hall and doing the hard work to advocate for a more equitable city budget. Mm-hmm. I'd like to offer prayers and blessings for the people in our parish who are about to embark on this 10-week journey of sacred ground. Let our hearts and minds be open to the hard work that is ahead, to allowing ourselves to humble ourselves, to hear the hard truths, and to be present with each other and to let God do God's work within us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kellen offers prayers for children as they enter summer without camp and swimming pools. May they stay safe and happy.
And from Anne to their parents, loving and sane.
And Carol offers prayers for college students and their parents as unknowns still exist of whether or not colleges will open or close and the decisions they need to make to stay safe and be healthy. Eternal and almighty God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept these prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, you have built yourself a church upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Grant us so to be joined together in unity of spirit by their teaching, that we may be made a holy temple acceptable to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. We'll say together our general thanksgiving. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for your immeasurable love and the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen. Now we'll pray together the prayer of St. Chrysostom, remembering that it's our friend Ron's favorite prayer, so we're going to hold him up particularly during this prayer, friends. Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplication to you, and you have promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together in his name, you will be in the midst of them. Fulfill now, O Lord, our desires and petitions as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth, and in the age to come, life everlasting. Amen.
May God give you grace never to sell yourself short, grace to risk something big for something good, grace to remember that the world is too dangerous for anything but truth, and too small for anything but love. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us now and remain with us this day and always. Amen.
Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Peace, everybody.